Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I do not want to be the country that, having gotten to the moon first, turned around and said, it doesn't really matter. Let the Chinese dominate space. What do we care?
If I had a business executive come to me and say they wanted to spend a few $100 billion to put a colony on the moon, I'd say you're fired.
Clip of the week. You might say it's primary day in Florida, or you might say it's the end of primary season in Florida. Early voting goes on for so long that you could actually lose primary day, but win the election. So let's check in with It's a Free Country political reporter Anna Sale at a polling site in Tampa, and Karen Tumulty, national political reporter for The Washington Post, just back in D.C. after covering the run-up to the day. Hi, Anna and Karen. Thanks for doing this. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Karen, how about that early voting? Is this a case where it ain't over till it's over isn't necessarily true?
It's really true, and it places a premium on organization and on financial resources, which are two things that Mitt Romney has. And he was actually working this early vote back in December before the Iowa caucuses, having conference calls with people who had requested absentee ballots. And as of, I think, I haven't looked at the totals, but as of about 2 days ago, over 400,000 people had already cast their ballots.
Yeah, and I read over 500,000 going into today. So, Anna, what's it like at the polling place at Tampa where you are right now?
Well, I first got here and the parking place was absolutely full, not a place to park at all. Turns out that was mostly people here to play tennis. I'm at a tennis complex polling station. The traffic at the polling place has been steady, but no long lines this morning. You're right, 600,000 folks either voted absentee or early voted. That ended on Saturday. So it's the expectation of turnout is about maybe 1.6 million Republicans voting today in Florida. So that's about 40% who would have voted before Election Day.
That's a huge number. And I guess you know you're in Florida when your polling booth is at a tennis center, huh?
That's right.
And Anna, you have the lead article on It's a Free Country right now. It's called Hardliners and Swing Voters, Florida's Fractured Latino Voters. Where's the fracture line?
Well, I think you've got it in a couple of places. First, in Florida, the Hispanic vote has been, you know, just swung totally towards the Democrats in 2008. Republicans had led among Hispanic voters in registration, and then in 2008, Democrats overtook them. Obama won among Hispanic voters in 2008 after George W. Bush won them in 2004. So there's that swing happening. But then even among Republican voters that I've talked to here, Republican Hispanics, it's interesting because there's a lot of talk about immigration and about we need to deal with the immigration issue, but it's not among Hispanic Republicans that I've talked to. It's not a personal issue for many of them. Many of them are Cuban Americans. Many of them are Puerto Ricans and haven't had the same experience with the immigration system that, say, Mexican Americans have had. So they talk about it like we've got to deal with this issue to bring more Hispanics on board, but it doesn't have the same. It's not a top policy issue for them as voters personally.
Karen, as a national political reporter, I wonder how you think the immigration debate in Florida sets up the Republicans for the rest of the voting season. Gingrich and Romney were actually trying to look more pro-immigrant than each other, which is the opposite of what we usually see in Republican debates.
Well, the first thing to remember about this primary is that it is a closed primary, which means you have to be a registered Republican to vote in it. So you are, among Hispanic voters, going to pick up a lot more, say, Cubans who haven't had the same experience. However, in the long-term interest of the party, no one, I think, has been more vocal than former Florida Governor Jeb Bush in making the argument that if Republicans do not extend their reach to Latinos and specifically, you know, toning down these anti-immigrant-sounding arguments, that they are going to lose because they are in a race against demographics.
And his brother, as you remember, President Bush, he and Karl Rove, that was part of their attempt to build a permanent Republican majority, was be tough on Iraq and things like that, be conservative in, you know, on some religious politics, but reach out to Latinos and support comprehensive immigration reform, but the rest of their party didn't allow it.
Right. And don't forget, after Florida, this primary season moves west, Nevada, Arizona, places like that, where the immigration debate is going to, if anything, reinsert itself, I think, much more forcefully.
Anna, I think many people in our area up here don't have a sense of how bad things are in Florida. Yes, the Great Recession is bad here, but not compared to Florida, which is an epicenter of the housing collapse. Having been to every primary state thus far, how would you gauge the sort of despair index as it relates to Florida?
It's been interesting. My first impression on the ground, I was just kind of traveling around Tampa and Miami, just kind of asking folks their general impressions of the economy, if they knew anybody who'd been in foreclosure. And it was startling. Just, I was in a cafe, asked that question, and a woman from across the room just said, well, I'm in foreclosure. Six of my friends are in foreclosure. I mean, it's the sense that it's really been something that has hit a lot of people in a sense that it's almost kind of contagious in the community. And there's that sense of, you know, unemployment just ticked under 10% in December. It's 9.9% in Florida, above the national average. But then you talk to voters, Republican voters, and they'll ask them about, you know, how the economy here influenced their choice, you know, when they're looking at candidates, how they feel about Barack Obama. And generally, there's a sense among the voters that, well, things have been really, really bad here, but they're getting better. And so the reasons that they want to get Barack Obama out of the White House are more things like the health care law, government overreach, that sort of thing. So it's a mix. People have been pummeled here economically, and I think that they sort of have kind of PTSD as they talk about it. But right now, in this moment, they feel like things are on the upswing.
So, Karen, same question about the despair index. Do you agree with Anna that there's a perception that things are on the upswing? And, you know, does the despair index, however you place it, benefit the Republican nominee or President Obama?
Well, however, if you do drive up and down the street in a place like Miami, you do see empty houses. You can see that this crisis is going to take a long way to work out of. And once again, as bad as it is in Florida, Nevada is really ground zero for the foreclosure crisis. So and people there have no sense that things are improving.
That's the next vote, isn't it?
That's absolutely the next vote.
So who do you think that benefits in the primary?
I think that it helps Newt. I mean, it helps Mitt Romney for a couple of reasons. One is this whole kind of I can manage us out of this crisis is really the central argument of his campaign. But also a lot of this negative advertising, which, believe me, you cannot get away from in Florida, that is coming out of the pro Mitt Romney super PAC focuses on the work that Newt Gingrich did for Freddie Mac, which a lot of conservatives blame Fannie and Freddie for playing a major role in the housing meltdown.
Listeners, don't forget, by the way, that from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock tonight, I'll be live on the air with the Miami Public Radio Station, WLRN. We will take your calls from here. We'll take Miami calls. We'll mix it up with our friends and relatives down there. We'll also have guests like Jeff Greenfield, Gail Collins, and reporters from all over the Sunshine State. So tune in. I hope you'll join me tonight at 7 here on WNYC. And on our politics website, it's freecountry.org, including our interactive county-by-county map. So join us tonight beginning at 7, which is when the polls close in most of the state, 8 o'clock on the panhandle, because they're actually in the central time zone in some of that area. We have Karen Tumulty right now on the phone from the Washington Post, national political reporter, and our own It's a Free Country political reporter, Anna Sale. Anna, did the televised debates matter as much as they did in South Carolina, but in the opposite direction? Remember, a whopping 2/3 of South Carolinians in the exit polls said the debates mattered a lot to them, and Gingrich won those voters. Maybe the opposite has happened in Florida.
Well, I think when talking to voters in South Carolina, it was clear the morning after those debates that Newt Gingrich had landed a punch, and voters were talking about it. They were responding to his sense of anger, and it was how they were talking about why they were supporting him. I haven't heard the same thing from Romney supporters this week talking to them, but what you do hear is that Freddie Mac point that Romney brought up in the debates, and when Gingrich tried to respond by saying, well, you've got investments in Freddie Mac, and then Romney Romney kind of shut that down by saying, well, you do too. So the Freddie Mac sort of charges landed more on Newt Gingrich than they did on Mitt Romney because of his consulting work for Freddie Mac. And that matters here in a couple of ways. There was a poll that came out over the weekend that over half of likely voters had a negative opinion of Newt Gingrich's work with Freddie Mac, whereas three quarters had a positive opinion about Mitt Romney's work at Bain. And then I talked to a woman who's a real estate agent who now specializes in short sales. And I asked her about Freddie Mac, and she said, you know, they have been among the most difficult to work with. She just got really angry when I asked her about that. And she said, absolutely, if you've worked with Freddie Mac, that influences the way I see you. So you have, that's, I think, the way that the debates have played out, that Freddie Mac issue.
How about that? And this was the week the campaign really devolved into a debate over who's a bigger lying liar. So here's a mashup of Gingrich clips from the last few days.
I am saying that he would not be where he is today. The debates this week wouldn't have been where they were if he had told the truth. And I think that's a very serious problem for somebody. We need witnesses who are prepared to go out and prepared to stand for conservatism and prepared to tell the truth. And we need to run a big truth campaign that beats the big lie campaign. We can win. But we will only win if the American people decide that they're sick and tired of the New York and Washington establishment thinking that we are dumb enough to let them try to buy an election by telling us things that we all know are just plain not true.
Newt Gingrich, three clips from the last few days, and here for good measure is one of Mitt Romney.
Your problem in Florida is that you worked for Freddie Mac at a time that Freddie Mac was not doing the right thing for the American people, and that you're selling influence in Washington at a time we needed people to stand up for the truth in Washington.
For the truth. Karen Tumulty, is this the politics of personal destruction, as they used to call it, and is it just going to scare voters away?
You know, it has been extraordinary, and I have covered a lot of these primary campaigns. The degree to which these guys are now going after each other's character and fitness for office, there aren't that many differences on policy and on substance. So basically, Newt Gingrich is calling Mitt Romney a liar, and Mitt Romney is calling Newt Gingrich a whiner.
I don't think I've ever seen anything as wide open in a presidential debate, either general election or primary. And Karen, maybe you can remember one that went further in terms of just standing there and accusing each other and insulting each other, as we saw in the CNN debate in Florida on Thursday night.
And I certainly cannot remember anything like this. And I tell you who is thrilled by this, and this would be everybody,
Obama.
Exactly, everybody in the Prudential building in Chicago, who essentially are having all of their sound bites for the fall being made for them. I mean, it's much more effective to have the words "he's a liar" coming out of Newt Gingrich's mouth than it is to have them coming out of the Obama campaign's mouth.
But is that a given in your experience in campaign coverage? You know that sometimes they say that long battle during the primary season gets a lot of things out of the way and also makes the candidate tougher for the general election. I think they said that about Obama after his long battle with Hillary Clinton.
But I really can't remember Hillary Clinton standing. I mean, she talked about how he was inexperienced, but she did not say that he was a morally repugnant person, which is what Newt Gingrich is saying right now about his opponent. And essentially, you know, what Mitt Romney is saying about Newt Gingrich is, you know, he's a crybaby.
And I think Gingrich proved on Thursday that he could lose a debate with audience hootering and hollering as well as he could win one. But Anna, where would he be today? Where would this race be today, in your opinion, without his moon colony blunder? We played the clip earlier, and all he did really was come out for a vigorous space program, which is a legitimate debate to have. But the way he put it is winding up as one of those campaign moments, like Rick Perry forgetting which federal agency he would close or Herman Cain not knowing what Libya was about, making him look really Looney Tunes.
Well, I just want to say I was in the Orlando area talking to a PhD candidate who's getting ready to graduate with a material science degree, and he was really worried, given all the layoffs from NASA, about his job prospects. So it's a real concern, the future of NASA here in Florida. So I get where Newt Gingrich was coming from. But the moon colony, I think that played into Mitt Romney's kind of gleeful confidence on the campaign trail yesterday. You heard him say, you know, Newt Gingrich to the moon kind of thing, and you're fired. And then I was actually at a rally in Pinellas County, and Mitt Romney described Newt Gingrich as flailing, said the last week has been painfully revealing. And then he just pivoted quickly and thanked the Florida voters for their support and went back to talking about Obama. So Mitt Romney just put a little more pep in his step that he's the serious candidate. And it, you know, just feels like he's got this Florida primary sewn up as a result of that. I think that the moon point exactly.
And in South Carolina, Anna, Gingrich won basically every demographic, as we've discussed. He won women, including married women. He won college graduates. He won people in every income group up to $200,000 a year. And he won people who said electability against Obama was their main concern, which went so strongly against expert assumptions. Do you think Floridians calculate electability differently from South Carolinians, or are they just so consumed by the Freddie Mac issue?
Well, I had an interesting conversation here at this polling place in Tampa. A Gingrich voter came out, and I asked him why he supported Gingrich. He told me because he thought he could get Congress off their backsides. And then I asked him why he thought Gingrich hadn't been able to surge here like he had in South Carolina. And he just sort of said, you know, we're different in Florida. We're not as homogeneous as South Carolina. We're a more diverse Republican electorate. And that's why, you know, how he explained why Gingrich wasn't able to have that kind of surge. So I think even he, in saying that, was acknowledging that Gingrich didn't have the same kind of electability that Mitt Romney does.
Karen, you want to add to that?
Well, what really struck me about a poll that came out over the weekend that was conducted by a number of Florida newspapers was the gigantic gender gap that has opened up in Mitt Romney's favor among women. Newt Gingrich won women in South Carolina. Right now, if you believe this poll from the weekend, Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich are running about evenly among men, but there is a double-digit gap among women.
Why?
And, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's his manner. I don't know if this is the delayed effects of his ex-wife's interview on television last week. I just honestly don't know. But to see those numbers swing that quickly, it was really surprising to me.
All right. We're going to be out of time soon. Let's take a look ahead because, Karen, as I see it, today ends the real first phase of the campaign. Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Florida, all in the first month, all very important, plus a million televised debates, you know, rivaling Downton Abbey for the best serialized Victorian melodrama. But after today comes a significant pause in anything consequential, I think, until Super Tuesday, March 6th. So if it turns out, as the pollsters expect today, maybe like 45-30, Romney over Gingrich or something with Santorum and Paul down around 10%, 15%. What actually happens next?
Well, I think what happens is, you know, we have a long road ahead of us with no gas stations for everyone but Mitt Romney. I think it's going to be difficult if Newt Gingrich suffers a big defeat here tonight for him to get the kind of attention and also the kind of excitement and the kind of money that he needs to keep going.
Anna, same question.
What happens next? Well, I'm kind of interested to see what Ron Paul does. He spent a lot of his time this week in Maine with the Maine caucus, and having talked to voters up there last fall, I talked to many who wanted a kind of Ross Perot kind of candidate. So if Ron Paul can connect there, that'll be interesting. But I, you know, it's February is going to be a lot more boring than January, and I think we're all looking to Super Tuesday to see how this kind of the next major phase of this primary campaign.
And Santorum, Karen, he's still just kind of out there waiting in the wings, trying to be respectable until Newt Gingrich so self-destructs that he drops out of the race, and then Santorum is the only not Mitt standing who's not Ron Paul. That's the strategy, right? But eventually it's just going to be too late.
Again, he needs money, he needs organization, and it's going to be really hard for him to build these for the next month.
All right. Karen Tumulty, national political correspondent for The Washington Post, Anna Sale, political reporter for our politics website, It's a Free Country. We'll just sit up here and watch what Chris Christie does over the next few months. Thank you both very much for coming on today. Anna, we'll talk to you tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And don't forget, again, folks, the Florida primary wraps up tonight. We don't even say it's primary day when it comes to Florida because, as you heard, over 500,000 people, maybe 40% of the total vote was cast before today because they have that early voting system. But from 7 o'clock tonight, when the polls close in most of Florida, we will be live on the air and with Miami in that first hour. I'll be hosting from 7 to 8, and we'll take your calls. We'll take Miami calls. We'll mix it up with our friends and relatives down there. We'll have guests like Jeff Greenfield, Gail Collins, reporters from all over the Sunshine State, including Anna Sale. We have our interactive county-by-county map on our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, that you can follow tonight. So tune in at 7 o'clock tonight on WNYC, New Jersey Public Radio, and itsafreecountry.org. Coming up next, Amazon gets into the publishing business, scaring the daylights out of the old line publishers. And then we'll take your calls on another of President Obama's State of the Union proposals to make dropping out of high school illegal before you're 18. Stay with us.